ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नेक्स्ट लाइन प्लीज रिसाइट। जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम् एवं यो वेति तत्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सो अर्जुन। Translation: One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport: The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord, is only partial. And there is a risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and the activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body, and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitamachyutamaradimanantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Lilanurakto, Bhakta Vyapi Hridyantaratma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not waste time in philosophical speculation attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth or faith, one can without a doubt attain liberation. The Vedic version Tat Tvam Asi is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, "You are the same Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead," is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance is into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion: Tameva viditvati mrityumeti nanya pantha vidyate anyaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation, simply so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, in this way attain perfection. For the blessings of all the devotees, I would like to attempt to speak something on this verse. Janma karma cha me divyam. So Krishna is talking about his birth and activities to Arjuna. But in this creation, everybody is absorbed in his own birth and activities. So people are more interested in their own birthdays than Krishna's birthday. So So Arjun was also too much involved in his own birth and activities in the first three chapters. But Arjuna was suffering because he was thinking too much about his birth and activities. So therefore, in the fourth chapter, Krishna somehow diverts his attention. He says, please, for a moment, go beyond the realm of this material world. First three chapters, Arjun was too much concerned with the... if I act like this, whether I'll incur sin, if I act like this, whether I'll get liberation, what will be my future birth? Of course, sign of an intelligent person is he thinks about his future. He thinks what he is going to get. So Arjuna is an intelligent person. The first three chapters, he is planning his life in such a way to make sure that he solves the purpose of human life. That is to stop this cycle of birth and death. And with that intention, he was too involved in these arguments, then how I can really design my life or plan my life in such a way, plan my activities in such a way that I can get liberation. So till third chapter, Krishna tried to explain him in so many ways. But then finally in fourth chapter, which is named as transcendental knowledge, which is not cited by any Arjuna's question. Arjuna is not telling, okay, start new chapter, let's start a new conversation, some new question he has. No. Krishna, seeing Arjuna's submissiveness, at the same time trying to elevate Arjuna's consciousness to a higher platform of knowledge, he shifts the subject matter and he himself starts telling his position. He says in first few verses, he says, evam parampara praptam evam rajarishayo vidhu sa kalene hamata. Suddenly, Arjuna, who is so absorbed in his own activities, in the activities of this world, suddenly his attention is diverted to a new subject matter. Where he starts contemplating on subjects which he never thought of. Isn't it? Just like a child whose toy is broken and he is crying or lamenting too much. So when he is lamenting too much, the mother has to design some innovative styles to turn the child's attention to somewhere else. Isn't it? To some subject matter which immediately entertains him and diverts his attention completely from that lamentation. Similarly, Arjuna also lamenting, and immediately Krishna starts this new subject matter that I gave this knowledge to sun god. And that's like a sudden shock too. Because till now, Arjuna, although he has surrendered to Krishna, but still he is thinking, here is my friend sitting, I am talking to him. Although he has agreed, friendship relationship has turned into a guru-disciple relationship. But still, till this point, still he has not really entered into the gravity of relationship. That what is the position of Krishna? Isn't it? Like we also here come in front of Krishna sometimes in a neophyte mentality and starts crying out our tale, our life's tale. What's happening? Or what are the lamentations? Or what do we want? We want this, this, this. Our list is ready. But without first giving a thought, who is this person standing in front of me? What are his birth and activities? Why should I go to him? What are his glories? Without focusing on that, suddenly you start telling your own tale. Similarly, Arjuna also started telling his own tale and he's considering how to get out of this world. So Krishna immediately takes his consciousness to a higher platform. He says, I gave this knowledge to sun god, Vivasvan. Vivasvan gave it to Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku gave it to Manu. And from Manu it is coming in the generations. Evam para para praptam yam rajarishayo vidhu. Thus it is coming in the line of disciplic succession of rajarishis. Sakale ne hamahata yoga nashta parantapa. But unfortunately, this knowledge was destroyed. So Krishna talks as a matter of like casually, you know, I gave this knowledge to Sun God, it gave Vishwaku and Manu, and then it was destroyed. But forget about destroying. You gave this knowledge to Sun God? Wait a minute. So for Arjuna, it was a whole new theme opening. So in third chapter, Arjuna's question, no more question, then Krishna opened some more questions by giving some new topic to Arjuna. And he says, so Arjuna immediately says, aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvata katam etad vijaniyam tvamado proktavaniti. How do I know? You are sitting, we are together born, isn't it? Almost in the same era we were born. We are cousins. How do I know you gave this knowledge to Sun God? And that too in a, like many, many yugas back. Huh? So many billion years back you gave this knowledge. That's too much. Huh? You are just making up a story or something. Huh? Krishna says, but because he's submissive, he's ready to hear. What is the solution? Huh? So he says, bahuni mevati tani janmani tavarcha Arjuna. So this verse 4, 5 and 6 in this chapter gave Arjuna an understanding of the birth of Krishna. They have Krishna who took birth like me apparently from the womb of one of my relatives in my family. This personality is not an ordinary person. Although he looks to be like me only, like a Kshatriya, a two-handed person, and I have played with him all my life. I have did so many activities with him, but he is not an ordinary person. First he asks this question, aparam bhavato janma. So Śrīla Prabhupāda explains that if you do not understand any activity of Krishna, neither one should accept blindly, and at the same time, one has full rights to ask question. One has full rights to clarify, because doubt is compared to a demon. So, aparam bhavato janma. If somebody has a doubt in spiritual life about Krishna's nature, if somebody doubts that why Krishna or Krishna consciousness process works like this, wait a minute, do not run away. But just wait and question. Maybe there is a whole new realm to be discovered. Because spirit soul is very infinitesimal and small. So maybe there is a whole new realm to be discovered. So here he asks this question, aparam bhavato janma. Here you are. Jaya Shri Shada Gopinath Bhagavan ki jaya. Shri Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagavan ki jaya. Shri Gopal Ji ki jaya. So that is interesting. When people do not understand this concept, they say, oh, this is mythology. Just leave this. Huh? Who will discuss more about this issue? Because it does not enter their brain, this simple formula. When Krishna is telling, I gave this knowledge to Sun God, they get bewildered. And many such facts, they get bewildered and they leave. They said, this is mythology, this is just a story. So, Krishna answers this. Pahuni me vati tani janmani tavach Arjuna. Why I am going in the background? Because this ninth verse has come as a conclusion of last few verses. Fifth verse, it says, Bahuni me vati tani, many, many births I have passed. But I remember all of them, you do not remember. This means there is a difference in the personality of Krishna and there is a difference in the personality of Arjuna. Arjuna is a small, infinitesimal spirit soul who is changing bodies and subject to forgetting the events. But Krishna does not change body. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Krishna's soul. Advaitam, achyutam, anadim, anantarupam. Advaitam, there is no duality. There is no duality. What is Krishna's inside? That is Krishna's outside. Mother Yashoda, in 10th canto, this is described, at one time, Balaramji comes and complains to Mother Yashoda. That, oh mother, today Krishna has eaten dirt. While you are playing in the forest, he ate dirt. So he ate dirt previously also, but this time finally they complained to Mother Yashoda. And when they complained to Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda asking, have you eaten dirt? No, no, I have not eaten dirt. Who told you I have eaten dirt? They are telling a lie. No, no, you have eaten dirt. Open your mouth. Let me see personally. Have you eaten dirt or not? I can see in your mouth. So she tells, open your mouth. And as soon as Krishna opens the mouth, by the special arrangement of Krishna's potencies, Mother Yashoda, to her utter amazement, sees the whole universal form there. The whole universe, all the creation, everything is seen there. How, Krishna? Everything is there inside Krishna and everything is there outside Krishna. She gets bewildered. The whole form, all the creation, all the planets, all the incarnations, all the demigods, everything is seen there inside. And not only that, she herself sees, seeing in the mouth of Krishna, inside the mouth of Krishna. She herself sees that. Sees herself present inside the mouth of Krishna. She gets bewildered. Who is this personality, Krishna? Who is this boy, Krishna, sitting in front of me? I thought she is my son. And she is thinking so many. Who is this? She is confused. She is bewildered. And she suddenly develops. And not that she starts worshipping Krishna, but she starts thinking, oh, Narayan, please protect my son. I don't know. And she just bows her head to the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. She just can't understand what is this happening. So when she does not understand, what does she do? She just bows her head down. Many things about Krishna one cannot understand. What one can do? Just bows the head down. Because Krishna is inconceivable. He is difficult to understand. How he works is difficult to understand. So what one can do? Just fold the hands and come and chant the glories of the Lord in front of Krishna. That's all. So Advaitam, there is no difference between inside and outside. Body and soul, there is no difference. For us, body and soul are different. But for Krishna, there is no difference. So that is about birth. Activities. Krishna's activities. So, okay, for about birth, he says, many, many births I gave this knowledge to Arjuna. And not only that, Ajopisan Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishwaropisan Prakritim Swama Vashtabhya. What is that? Prakritim Swama Dishthaya Sambhavami Atma Maya. Atma Maya, by my internal potency, I myself descend when I desire. Sambhavami Atma Maya. I descend. I am not forced to take birth by my karma, by my reactions. Like we are forced to take birth in different families, in different, by a way of our reactions. Some are poor, some are rich, some are educated, some are uneducated, some are very beautiful, some are not so beautiful. So many variations are there. So many variations. This is all cycle of action and reaction, karma. We are forced to take birth. But Krishna is not forced to take birth. He comes by his own sweet will. So that is about the birth of Krishna. In 4th, 5th, 6th, he talks about the birth of Krishna. So immediately one understands, okay, here is this personality is not an ordinary personality like me. So immediately one starts thinking, who is this personality? What are his activities of his birth? How does he take birth? The same Krishna, when he appeared in front of Vasudeva and Devaki, very interesting. That is also another appearance of Krishna. Appearance of Krishna, when he is appearing in front of Vasudeva and Devaki, who are in the prison of Kamsa, they have seen so many children being killed by Kamsa in front of their eyes. So, 6 children have been killed right in front of their eyes. Just imagine. The mother is there, a child is just newborn, and somebody comes and smashes the child right in front of the mother on the wall. Cannot conceive in this world. Of course, nowadays, different conception. Nobody has that much attachment, but ideally. So, now the demonic influence is increasing, and people kill the child in the womb only. But anyway, 6 children were killed right in front of the eyes of Mother Yashoda. As a result, every moment she had developed a deep fear of Kamsa. Now Kamsa will come. Now Kamsa will come. And every time she thought of giving birth to a child, she thought Kamsa will come and take away this child and kill the child. She had heard the 8th child will be born to kill Kamsa. It is a prediction of demigods. The prediction was there. She had heard the prediction herself. But when the thought came, when Krishna was about to appear, still she had the fear that maybe Kamsa will come and kill Krishna. And in fact, before Krishna was about to appear, all the demigods were coming there. And they were doing so many prayers to Krishna, who has not even appeared yet, to the womb of Devaki. Now Devaki is going to give birth to Krishna. And then what happens by the special arrangement of the internal potency of the Lord? Finally Krishna appears. The eighth son appears. And the eighth son appears. Devaki had heard this eighth son is born specifically to kill Kamsa. So eighth son is born to kill Kamsa, and she knows this. And now not only that, prediction has heard right in front of the eyes, the same Krishna has come in four-handed form. Same Krishna is born and he exhibits the four-handed form. And that Krishna, that small boy who is born, he is not born like an ordinary boy. When an ordinary child is born, his body is covered with all the fluids and blood and all kind of dirty fluids. But here, Krishna is born decorated with crown and helmets and ornaments and beautiful. He is beautified. And seeing that, now Vasudeva is seeing, Devaki is watching that Krishna, right here the Supreme Lord himself has appeared. And everybody is there giving beautiful prayers. But in spite of seeing that, still Devaki is telling, Vasudeva is telling, Krishna, please, he's telling Supreme Lord who has come in the four-handed form, please immediately change this form. Because if Kamsa comes to know that you are the Supreme Lord, he'll kill you. What kind of illusion is that? But that is the motherly love of Devaki and Vasudev. So they are under the influence of internal potency, they are thinking, and they are so fearful of Kamsa that they are thinking Krishna will be killed. This last son will also be killed. So please, please, change this form. Go away from here. So we see, Krishna, when he is born, he is not born as an ordinary. He appears in his self-same body as four-handed form he appears. Transcendental, Satchidananda form. So Krishna's birth is transcendental. Then he talks about his activities in the 7th and 8th verse. What are the activities of Krishna? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He says, whenever there is decline of religious principles, glanir bhavati bharata. So why he, what are his activities? What are his activities directed to? Prabhupada explains in the purport. He says, there are three purposes of his activities. He does so many different activities and one is bewildered. Why he does what he does? This is bewildering sometimes. Why he is doing the way he is acting? He marries 16,000 wives. One wonders why? What was the need? Then he is stealing butter. So people say makhan chor. But of course, devotees worship. But outsiders say, what kind of God you have? He's a thief. He engages in politics and diplomacy while fighting. People say, why he is doing all that? What kind of God is he? Duplicitous God. He provokes his devotee to take to telling lies and cheating propensities. What kind of God is he? So what are his activities meant for? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there is decline in the religion and rise of irreligion, he appears. First, to deliver his devotees. To deliver his devotees from the fear of the demoniac elements. And then, Krishna also appears to establish the principles of religion. And the most important reason is, he appears to satisfy the desire to have pastime with his dear devotees in this world. To have wonderful loving exchanges with the devotees in this world. So that is the purpose of all his interactions, all the pastimes, his activities. So now he says, after telling, explaining about his birth, about his activities, now he says, janma karma cha me divyam, divyam. Those who understand my birth and activities. My birth and activities are not ordinary. They do not mistake me to be an ordinary person. They do not mistake my form to be an ordinary person. Ordinary form made of marble or wood. They, like we have deity form. They do not take my name to be ordinary. His holy name, which is full of so many potences. They do not take my pastimes to be ordinary. His pastimes also appear to be ordinary. And then it bewilders. They do not take my pastimes to be ordinary. His pastime with the gopis in Vrindavan appeared to be ordinary loving affairs of a man and a woman in this mundane world. And if somebody sees with his lusty eyes, he gets bewildered. What kind of God is he? So, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah. One who understands these things tattvatah, in truth. One who understands the reality, why Krishna appears, why Krishna acts the way he acts, why Krishna takes birth, what are the potencies of his holy name, tattvatah, tattva, in reality. Evam yo veti tattvatah, taktva deham punarjanma. When he gives up this birth, punarjanma naeti. When somebody's birthday is there, we sing, may you never take birth again. What do we say? Do not take birth again. So, that is the goal of human life. Do not take birth again. No birth again. So, birthday is not that, oh, may you live long life. May you never take birth again. This miserable birth, one should not take. So, naeti maameti so Arjuna. Maameti. So one who understands the birth and activities of the Supreme Lord, he does not mistake the Supreme Lord to be the ordinary person. He understands that the only person worth giving attention to in this world is Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Impersonally, Prabhupada very nicely in the purport, the whole purport is telling that if somebody has to get liberation, there are two paths. Paths of impersonalists and yogis and path of devotees. What is the path of impersonalists and yogis? What are their endeavor? They endeavor very hard. Lot of tapasya they do, lot of austerities they do, lot of study of scriptures they do. So many things, endeavor in so many different ways. Endeavor. What is their goal? And after doing so much endeavor, years and years and years and years of tapasya, hard work, applying their intelligence, their mind, their senses, trying to search for the absolute truth, what happens? Klesho adhik tarastesham. After so much klesha in their life, so much troubles in their life, what is their goal? Still they do not achieve Krishna. Still they achieve partial liberation only. Maybe they go to Brahma Jyoti. So their endeavor is very hard. Prabhupada explains, their goal is partial. And as far as safety, there is no safety. They will come back. Going there, they will come back. Devotees, Prabhupada explains, what is the endeavor? They simply understand that here, this personality Krishna, his birth, his activities, they are not like ordinary human being. They are full of inconceivable potencies. He is the supreme enjoyer. He is the supreme proprietor, and not only is the supreme enjoyer and proprietor, but Suhrida Sarva Bhutanam. He is the well-wisher. He is waiting, he is calling, he is screaming out to the living entities. They stop acting on a temporary platform in this world and come and make relationship with Krishna. He is going to give you the supreme happiness. He is himself coming. He is sending out scriptures. He is sending out his representatives, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. People are going distributing books all around. What is the purpose? Telling people, here is a person worth making relationship. Because everybody in this world is having a temporary birth and activities contaminated by the modes. So wherever we go, we see cheating propensity. We saw falsity. And we are never satisfied. Nobody is able to provide that rasa which Krishna can provide. But Krishna is the reservoir of all rasa. He is the reservoir of all relationships. He is the reservoir of all beauty. He is the reservoir of all opulence. He is the reservoir of all strength. And not only that. Not that if you go to him, he will claim you, okay, become my property. He is renounced also. If you want, you come. If you do not want, you do not come. This morning, Murari Gupta Prabhu in the Bhagavatam class, he was telling. Mother Rukmini, she is writing a letter. And then Krishna is telling, in the conversation, Rukmini and Krishna, Krishna is telling that I am fully satisfied. I do not need anyone. I am renounced. I am not attached to family life. So Mother Rukmini, what she is telling in reply? Yes, you are satisfied. You do not need anyone. But here, this is the love of the devotees. Because we love you, so you reciprocate with our love. So although Krishna is fully satisfied, he is not waiting that here I need these people, they surrender and I exploit them. No, not like that. Janma karma cha me divyam, he is satisfied in his Golok Vrindavan and having pastime with his devotees. But if we also want to have those relationships, experience that reservoir of all relationships, experience that bliss, experience that ananda, it is only available in Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Otherwise the whole world is dry. Whole world is dry. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. This is only possible when one understands janma karma cha me divyam. Divya, transcendental, his births, janma or karma divya hai. They are not ordinary. They are not contaminated by the modes. They are not full of cheating propensities. They are not dry. They are full of ananda. Such is the power of the personality of Godhead. So when one understands by association of his representatives, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, by association of scriptures, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when one studies these books, submissively hears these books, one understands Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. And what does one do? Not much endeavor. Bhakti is very simple and sublime. He dedicates his heart and soul in the service of Krishna. There are six principles of surrender mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Six principles of surrender are mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. What are they? He's telling somebody who understands Krishna's janma and karma are divya. Krishna is not an ordinary conditioned soul. He has no fear in approaching Krishna. What does he do? First thing. Whatever is favorable to develop your relationship with Krishna, he accepts that. Anukulasya sankalpa, whatever is favorable, whatever it takes to please Krishna, I will accept in my life. That is one principle of surrender. Anukulasya sankalpa, is it difficult? What is favorable? What does Krishna ask? He just asks, chant holy names all the time, whenever and wherever you can. Chant 16 rounds and as much as possible, chant more holy name whenever, wherever, whatever possible. Satatam kirtayantu maam. That is what he is accepting. Use your tongue in the service of Krishna. Your eyes are getting diverted by the things of this world, illusions of this world. Here, come and see the deity form of the Lord. The temple is established by the arrangement of the Lord. Just come and see the deity form of the Lord. You want good friends? So here are the devotees who are just going to tell you as much as you know about Krishna. That's all. Anukulasya sankalpa. Accept that. We need a society. Man is a social animal. If you need a society, find out those devotees who are interested in the katha of Krishna. Who are not interested in their own birthdays. They are interested in Krishna's birthdays. Krishna's activities. Find out those devotees. Of course, we are also interested in the birthday of devotees. So like that. Anukulasya sankalpa, accept whatever is favorable. Pratikulasya varjanam, whatever is not favorable, whatever Krishna does not like. He doesn't like if somebody breaks four regulatory principles. Okay, reject this. He doesn't like if somebody associates with those people who are not interested in Krishna. We are also not interested. He doesn't like if you are greedy for mundane things. Okay, we are also not interested. He doesn't like if you are interested in any sense gratification where Krishna is not there. We are not interested. Pratikulasya varjanam. Pratikul hai, to chhod do usko. Pratikulasya varjanam. Varjanam, we reject it. Because we know, here is the Krishna who is ready to give us all relationships. So why not for him, we are ready to accept anything and give up anything, whatever he doesn't like. Pratikulasya varjanam. Rakshishyatiti vishwaso. And then somebody will wonder, I will give up so much. Will Krishna protect me? Just a few days back, we were discussing the pastime in Krishna book where all the wives of all the brahmanas, they left all their husbands without their wish and they went to Krishna. They left their home because they wanted to see Krishna. So they left their home, they wanted to see Krishna and they came to Krishna thinking that now nobody will accept us back in the home because for another man we have left our husbands. That's the worldly distinction. they see Krishna as another man and here you left your husband. Forgetting that who is the real husband? Krishna is the real husband. So anyway, so they left. And thinking that, okay, now we can never go back. And Lord Krishna says, no, you go back. They will accept you. Everything will be okay. Rakshishyati iti vishwaso. They go back and brahmanas themselves feel embarrassed. Just look at the devotion of our wives. What surrender they have. Krishna called and without any second thought, they just walked out of the house. Rakshishyati iti vishwaso. Confident. So one should have confidence that Krishna will protect if somebody surrenders to Krishna. And what is the next? Yeah, Krishna is the maintainer. He will maintain also. There is a nice story I was discussing with some people. One of our acharyas, Sridhar Swami, when he wanted to leave home, he was thinking, I will take sannyas. I have a strong desire to serve the Supreme Lord, to preach in the mission, so let me leave home. But he was a married grihastha. His wife was pregnant at that time, so he was telling, this is not good to leave the wife. He was thinking, I have to take care. What will happen if I leave? So he waited. Let the child be born, let the family be settled. When everything will be okay, I will go. But to his utter surprise, as soon as the child is born, the wife dies. Who will take care of the child? He had so many plans. People make plans, you know, even in bhakti, how I will do bhakti. But then Krishna shows some other plan only. So here, he was making plan that I will perform bhakti like this, I will immediately leave, but child is born and the mother is gone. So then what? What will I do now? He was wondering, how will I surrender to Krishna? Krishna tells us to surrender and now time is to surrender and something else is manifested. What to do? And immediately he sees a lizard. A small baby lizard being born from another lizard. And I think the mother lizard dies or something, but as soon as the baby lizard is born, she immediately goes and grasps a mosquito and eats. And here he understands. As soon as a living entity is born in this world, Supreme Lord has made full arrangement for the for the maintenance of this person. Krishna has made arrangement. And he thinks, okay. So he takes the child, places at the lotus feet of the Lord and walks out. Lord will take care. And finally, we know the story how it goes. That finally, after many years, he goes to the palace of a king. Where he finds the king having a beautiful, a wonderful, handsome prince. And he's asking, and the king reveals that this prince is none other than the child who was found at the lotus feet of the Lord in the temple. So how this child was transferred to the king's family and later and he took care of him like prince without the knowledge of this great soul. So Lord maintains, maintainer. When somebody takes on to the business of the Lord, Lord takes on to the business of his protection. He is the supreme powerful. And finally, last two points of surrender are one feels completely helpless in front of the Lord. Helpless. How material energy is going to manifest in one's life, one does not know. But only thing one can is cry out and pray to the Lord. Amara bharasa tumi. Gopinath, amara bharasa tumi. There is no other upay. There is no other upay but to surrender. Otherwise, you will surrender to so many other people. You have to surrender to someone. So surrender to Krishna or surrender to material energy. What is the right choice? That one has to decide. And then finally, giving up one's whole self in the service of Krishna. So thus accepting whatever is favorable, rejecting whatever is unfavorable, having full confidence in the protection and maintenance of the Lord. The Lord is the maintainer, Lord is the protector. And then, feeling completely helpless in this material, what can one do? Just surrender to the plans of the Lord. Whatever way the Lord manifests his plan, I am yours. So whatever way the Lord's plan manifests, what does one do? One just dedicates his body, his wealth, pranair, arthair, dhya, vacha. My words, my dhya, what is that? Intelligence is all for your service. When Yashoda Mai could not understand this, seeing the whole universe in the mouth of a small baby Krishna, she was bewildered. What did she do? She just folded hands and prayed to the Lord. Similarly, we also cannot understand the plans of the Lord. Sometimes plans of the Lord are very difficult to understand, difficult to digest. Why he did like this? Why he gives pain to us? Why he gives pain to the family? Why he gives pain to the devotees? It appears difficult to understand. What can one do? Having confidence in the plan of the Lord, helplessly pray and offer one's body, wealth, activities, life, worth in service of the Lord. Rakshishati iti vishwaso, then atmanikshepa, full surrender. So therefore, process is very easy. Very easy. Krishna has made it very easy. If you are really interested in a reservoir of all relations, here is Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. He is extending his hands. Come on, shake hand, have friendship here. I'll satisfy you fully. Why you are rotting in this material world? So this is like Janma Karma Cha Medivyam. If somebody understands the transcendental nature, endeavor, very simple. Goal, 100% confirmed. What is that? Nayeti Mameti Suvarjuna. He comes to me, 100% confirmed. And safety, Yadgatvana Nivartante Taddhama Paramama. Safety, I will never allow. I will protect you. Vapis nahi jaoge aap. I will protect you. So that is Krishna's promise in Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, Arjun, who was so much thinking sin or no sin, what will happen to my life, what will happen to my future, Krishna showed him a whole new realm. Just look at my birth, my dear friend. Just look at my activities. Have confidence. And finally, at the end of this chapter, he says, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatpara samayatendriya jnanam labdhva param shantim achirenadi gachati. Achirenadi gachati. One who faithfully, Shraddhavan, faithfully hears this knowledge. It may take, from our point of view, it may take some time to understand this knowledge. But faithfully, submits to this knowledge. Submissively, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Jnanam, transcendental knowledge, faithfully he applies to this process. In spite of all the inconceivable things of the process. Tatpara, and controls his senses. Senses want to run away from Krishna? No. Look, give time, patience, utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya. And what happens? Jnanam labdhva param shantim, param shantim. Very soon he will achieve the ultimate platform of peace. When he will achieve? Very soon. Nachirenadi gachati. In comparison to eternity, what is one life? Achirenadi gachati. Very soon you will attain. But faithfully, keep practicing, keep serving Krishna, and just wait how Krishna reciprocates. So that is Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Evam Yo Veti. One who knows Tattvatah, this reality. After studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he understands. Mameti. He comes to me. So thus by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we understand. Endeavor is very simple in bhakti. Process is very simple. Goal is confirmed. And complete safety is there. So with that confidence, we take shelter of the words of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Samvet Bhakta Vrinda ki. Time is over. If somebody has any questions, personally we can discuss. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.